This is Osen Cocktail.
Hi, I'm Kirby Plessis. I have 20 years experience in intelligence analysis and OSINT, and I'm the founder of Plessis.net. You can find me online on Twitter as Kerbster.
And I'm Cynthia Navarro, and I've been a private investigator since 1979 and went into using OSINT for my investigations in 1997. You can find me on Twitter at Finnegan's Way. Well, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us again on OSINT Cocktail. And today we have a special guest with Jeff Teagues, and Jeff is with Skull Games. We are so excited to have him join us. We also have our producer, Sarah, joining us as well. And so I'd like to just give a quick intro for Jeff. You are the president and founder for Skull Games. Previous to that, you were in the Army for 28 years, Special Ops. I found it great and interesting to know that on your education, you were also in the Naval War College doing Special Ops for your theory, strategy, and tactics. Mm-hmm. Also, you were in Bozeman for Montana University, State University, and you have your psychology degree. Now, what I find that's very interesting about this, and I'm going to let you do an intro on yourself, but I wanted to quickly ask you if your education has helped you for the Skull Games, for what you're doing right now, how much of that has really intercepted in the strategy of going forward and how you organize everyone as to who's doing what, where they're going, what they're looking for. So I'll let you answer that and do a quick intro of yourself.
Well, thank you. And that's actually a great intro because the education has been critical and then the experience. And I think when your education is done right, it's hard to separate the experience and the education. And even going back to when I was a kid and how my parents raised me and what they exposed me to from a Christian perspective and from a values perspective and valuing life and how some of these traditional roles between men and women. Now, all those things will fluctuate over time. And it's a huge continuum, but this concept that I'm a protector and a defender of those that are more vulnerable than myself has been something that I've recognized and realized since I was a little kid. These are things you don't really think about until after the fact. So it's easy for us to sit here and look all the way back to when I was a kid and through college and my military experiences and see all these things on how they have shaped where we are now, but you don't know it at the time. Like you really don't know it. And part of that is, you know, people ask me why did I even join the military in the first place? I joined when I was 17, straight out of high school. And I thought I was just looking for adventure. But now when I look back on it, I think part of my identity was a protector and defender. And I wanted to do that and perfect those skills. And the men and women that poured into me as a young private all the way up into a non-commissioned officer, I didn't necessarily appreciate the way they treated me or the way they educated me. But they definitely set the tone and the conditions for who I am today. And you know, I also didn't really realize until I retired a few years ago how little we discuss leadership. And even less than discussing leadership do we discuss followership. And that's one of the things that fascinates me is to a good leader, you start in the military, you start as a follower, you start as a private, you start as a cadet, you start like following someone else and you pick and choose things that they do that you like or dislike. So followership has such an incredible role to play in leadership. And I'm going to jump past all this all the way to Skull Games, and we can go back for more. But that's the thing that blows me away from Skull Games is even though I focus on the leadership and how do you have an empowerment, autonomous group of people that feel comfortable and empowered and capable of doing the things that they want, the followership and the volunteers that we have are absolutely, it's absolutely humbling. So I think even though I came up in a very strict military environment, moving into special operations, I think people would be surprised to understand and realize like how little we're told what to do, you know, like other than when I was a Ranger private, 20 plus years in the military, no one ever really told me what to do. My job was to figure out what needed to be done and build the appropriate teams and resources appropriately to get the mission done. And that's largely what we've done with Skull Games. And I'll get way, way more into that because whatever you're interested in, because it really is based upon how we deploy. So Skull Games Incorporated is the nonprofit. That's the headquarters. There's only a handful of us. And then the Skull Games Task Force is this group of volunteers that stands up and breaks down and stands up and breaks down. And some of them are on call through the weeks and months in between these big events. And that really is the model that we've used in the wars that we fought overseas. Is the units I was in, those were units that we maintained, and you were part of that unit. You had a base and you had a headquarters, but then you would bring in all of these talented people with all these disparate experiences and professions and understanding, and they would form a task force and they would accomplish a specific mission, and then they would go back home to their home stations, and then you would come together again. And that's really the model that we are trying to replicate with Skull Games. So Skull Games is the name, but we're broken down into Skull Games Incorporated, which is the full-time staff, and then the task force, which you guys were able to see in action a little bit a few weeks ago in New Orleans.
Yes, that was a great one. I know that you've had, at least within a three-month period, you had seven survivors that became hunters. What's interesting is those seven survivors would not probably have had the background in OSINT, which is your key component for finding all of this. What are you doing for training those folks that don't have really, they have a whole different type of a skill set for you that's important, but when it comes down to OSINT, what are you doing for that skill set for them?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's really quite minimal. Again, it's one of these ideas of leadership and building teams is you need everybody to have a common understanding, but to get the exponential value from a team, you have to allow them to really walk in the lanes where they're unique. Everybody that comes into Skull Games, they go through a little bit of training. You know, we go through a couple of courses with them. Remind me at the end, we have a brand new online course. It's called Protect Your Family. That's available for people to get a pretty good understanding of what this crime looks like. So we give them a kind of a one over the world on what sex trafficking is and what it looks like. And then we quickly move into very specifically what we do with Skull Games, which is the commercial online sex trade. So we quickly go from talking about generally what human trafficking and sex trafficking look like to very specifically what we're doing with the online commercial sex industry. So it's probably a lot less than you would expect that we train them on. And I think one is because we have so many super talented open source intelligence professionals and analysts. There's no reason to try to recreate that with the survivors. So what they bring is a whole different look. And, you know, one of the main highlights of the brief that I want to give at OsmosisCon, which is, you know, we have this thing called the five special operations forces truths, the five soft truths. And I think they're applicable for a lot of things. And I was talking about the five soft truths specific to OSINT. And the number one is humans are more important than hardware. And that's something that we really emphasize in special operations, because you can get lost on the gear and the technology and, you know, all of the aspects of that. And I think it's the same thing with our survivors is I don't even really care that much how much they understand OSINT, as long as we're able to plug them in with their lived experience. And I don't care if it's facial recognition or AI or machine learning, nothing can hold a candle to what these survivors know and understand and can intuitively identify and figure out. And then the last thing I just wanted to emphasize too is we started out really specifically counting our survivor to hunters as our survivors being these women that were victims of sex trafficking, commercial sex trafficking, very, very specifically. And over time now, we've broadened that, and we open it up to really anybody who wants to identify as a survivor hunter. when you think about this, how many women and men have been sexually abused in relationships or by family? It doesn't have to be commercial abuse. And I think once we publicly said, hey, if you want to identify as a survivor of sexual abuse or sexual assault, and then in turn, identify yourself as a hunter and a protector and a defender who's ensuring that this doesn't happen to somebody else, then just come forward. And those numbers have been staggering to us on how many people have found a place where they feel comfortable with other people that have suffered, and really finding that focus on putting their specific talents to work in this space. And I think that's what makes the task force special. You know, some people are specializing in financial crimes or open source intelligence or understanding, you know, writing code, or, and that survivor is an incredibly valuable participant in those teams and at that table.
Yeah, I would like to kind of pipe in, and I agree with you with like the variety of where people come from, even the survivors, the variety of their experiences is really valuable to this. But I want us to back up a little bit. And for somebody who's never heard of Skull Games, can we describe what it is, as well as when your next event will be happening?
Yeah, perfect. So the name Skull Games comes from an old pimp. His name was Iceberg Slim. And he said, infamously, pimping isn't a sex game, it's a skull game. And we've taken that for a number of reasons. Is that speaks volumes. People think about pimping and they think about the sex industry as a physical thing, as a sexual thing. And it is, don't get me wrong. A human body is being sold. A sex act is being conducted. But the manipulation and the control is mental. And that's what people have a hard time understanding. They always ask, why doesn't she leave? She's free. She's walking amongst us. Why doesn't she leave? Well, because she's not free. It's a mental game that they have a control over. So part of what we've been discussing today in this interview is the psychological healing and the emotional healing that we offer through these events, where we come together and they take their past experiences and use that to try to identify other victims that are being manipulated and exploited online. And then the other side of the games concept is my time in the military and my time in combat. The way that I've looked at it is really kind of a game. And even when we began talking about my education and strategy and tactics, strategy and tactics are games. It's chess, it's checkers, it's whatever it is you want to relate it to. And that's kind of how I have viewed combat. And I don't know if that was a coping mechanism for me to almost take the human element out of it and just really recognize that we're moving pieces on the battlefield on this grand game that we're playing. But that's the way I did it. That's the way I thought about it. And that's the way we think about it with Skull Games. So it's almost another way to protect ourselves, where we're dealing with some of the most disgusting, depraved, violent, sexually abusive content that you can imagine. Things that, and you know, maybe we'll get there or not. I mean, I thought I'd seen it all, right? Like with Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and I hadn't. And at least Al-Qaeda and ISIS, some of them believe in what they're doing as this twisted kind of faith concept. They believe that it's the right thing and they'll be rewarded in an afterlife. These pimps and traffickers are solely driven by greed and power and control and evil and violence. So I wasn't expecting some of it. So what we've done is we've have Skull Games Incorporated, which is the profession of how do we organize all this. And we, day in and day out, we're supporting law enforcement all across the U.S. And specifically, we're trying to find what we can see to augment what they can or can't see using open source intelligence on the internet. So some people call it publicly available information, PAI. You can call it OSINT. But for people that don't know what that is, that's any piece of information that you publicly put out there for others to see. It's not private. It's no expectation of privacy. It's what you post on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of these other accounts that are public. That's information that you're broadcasting. And there's so much of that information, it's very difficult for law enforcement to navigate through that, to find the pieces that become not just information, but evidence that leads towards the probable cause or reasonable suspicion of a crime that's being committed. When we looked at this cycle of exploitation and where we could inject ourselves to be a force multiplier, that was part of it, was, hey, we can help law enforcement understand and recognize who these women are that are being sold, what their stories are, and who might be exploiting them. And I say women, because that's predominantly what we've been working with. And of course, when you look at this as a business, that's the number one product. The number one buyer is a man. The number one product that's being sold is a woman. The number one exploiter is a male. So, you know, we look at this as the rules of the game or this business aspect. But what is also interesting, and I'm really glad that this happened, just at this last Skull Games, we had a transgender individual come forward who really wanted to focus on this community. And it really wasn't, it's not a community that I'm really familiar with, and we haven't really been digging into it. But what we have been observing over the last couple of years is more and more transgender victims being sold online. And they go for 30 to 50% more money. So again, when you're talking about it's a niche product, right? But we're seeing it moving more and more into the mainstream. So this was one of those things, if you would have talked to me 2 years ago, I would have said, hey, this is a target market that we've got to explore. We have to understand what's happening in the transgender community. Obviously, everyone knows the vulnerabilities that are heaped upon that complexity of somebody who's, you know, intersex or confused about what their gender is. I mean, that's just ripe for exploitation. So not only are we seeing it on the back end where there's more and more of a market for it, we also see it very, very young, where these exploiters are reaching these kids in their preteen and teen years. So yeah, we had a woman come forward, and that is now a new focus for us. So that is exciting. Again, the homosexual market is not something that we look at. It's not something that we're experts in. But again, if anyone's out there listening, we are looking for people that want to focus on that market. It's a different style of advertising. They go to different sites, but our suspicion, just like dealing with the transgender community, is it's younger and younger. So I think the men and boys that get wrapped up in sexual exploitation, it's another age bracket that's younger than what we're seeing with women. And that's important to us, because when you look at laws, pimping and prostitution is the exchange of a sex act for something of value. Usually it's money, right? But it can be, you know, someone can give you anything for it. If there's an element of force, fraud, or coercion, that now leaves the realm of prostitution and pimping into trafficking. Now, if the victim is under 18 years old, then that's an automatic trafficking. We're not talking about pimping and prostitution anymore. We're talking about trafficking. So those are much easier cases. Instead of having to explain to a court or a judge or a jury or a district attorney what these elements of force, fraud, or coercion are, it's just an age number. That's why we're focusing on trying to find the minors as much as we can in the heterosexual community, but it's harder and harder to see because our laws are pretty decent. But in the transgender and homosexual community, we think it's running rampant, and there certainly aren't enough people looking at it. So there's way more to do than we're even prepared for at this time.
Wow, like huge mission. And I really appreciate you explaining it so much to us. Basically on this podcast, a lot of times what we talk about is the software and the tools that we use to get the work done. So when we're talking about Skull Games, there's going to be a couple of different aspects, I have a feeling, to it. So for example, your own investigations, what would you use for investigation, but also what do you use to run an event like Skull Games? So we've got, you know, a huge broad set of questions we'll be asking you, but let's talk hardware.
Yeah.
The physical things. What do you use? Yeah.
I always like these discussions that are all kind of weaving and go back and forth, where you first talked about, you know, the education and the experience. Well, when we build these task forces overseas, you're bringing in all these people with all sorts of different tools and hardware and access to things. And some things are secret and some things are top secret and other things aren't, you know, and what we're trying to do with Skull Games, we call it democratizing it. We're trying to democratize this hunt. So there are people that participate in Skull Games that have proprietary tools that are being sponsored by these particular companies, you know, and that can be facial recognition, that can be some machine learning stuff, that can be, you know, that can be these different ways that they compile and sort data. What we try to do is, if you have some special piece of hardware or software, we want to bridge that gap into the open source world. You know, so it's almost, we almost call it cheating. We almost consider it cheating if you're using kind of a special tool, because we want law enforcement to be able to recreate everything that we give to them. It's called that path of discovery. So if you find something using a facial recognition tool or some database that you or your company only has access to, that has a lesser value to us than being able to demonstrate it on the open source and internet, you know? And that's also when we talk about the gamification. That's when the leads that are presented, we score them. You get points for the veracity and the depth and the compelling story of what it is you've brought to the table. So if you've identified a victim and a trafficker through one of your special software tools, but you can't recreate that in the OSINT world where a cop can go right back and establish that ownership of that path of discovery, you're not going to get scored as highly as that person that's able to recreate it. So we have a lot of different groups that are working with us. And then what's super important also is we have the law enforcement sitting there. So not only do we have the hunters, the survivor hunters on a team, there's a law enforcement officer with every team who has access to their databases, right? So we almost have these walls, so to speak, between, hey, I'm talking to a law enforcement officer saying, this is what I've found. And now they go into their special tools that they only have access to and build upon that. And it all comes together into this final lead packet. But one thing I would emphasize, going back to what I had said earlier, as the humans are more important than hardware piece, is we then have everybody brief us on what it is they think is happening and how they have found that information. Again, hearkening all the way back to when I was in the military and hunting Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and you know, we would have this access to this super, super top secret stuff, and someone would explain to me, this is what the machine says, this is what the tool says. I always went to that person and I said, yeah, but what do you think? You mean, what do you think? And sometimes they didn't agree with what their algorithm was spitting out, you know, because the human mind has such an incredible capacity. When you couple that lived experience with kind of the knowledge and all of that, it really is remarkable. So I don't usually get too deep into all these different tools that we use, but what I would want to emphasize is what's the magic of Skull Games is they're all there at the same table. And it's not just the tool itself. It's the person that understands and knows how to use that tool. And everybody's working together to put all of these tiny little pieces together until you have a picture that's understandable and recognizable and one that we can communicate to law enforcement very, very rapidly.
I love what you were talking about as far as like being able to understand and describe what you feel is happening as well. I feel like a lot of people are starting to rely on AI, and you can have AI in your tool, but that's a black box. Where how did it figure out what it's doing? So you still have to kind of think through it yourself as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So our podcast is all about tools. So even though you're not going to explain like all the tools that'll be happening with Skull Games, what are your own favorite tools that you can talk about, not secret, anything like that? And this could be everything from, hey, I use an Apple computer, I use a Windows, I use a Linux computer, to that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, what I will share is a couple of these companies that are great supporters of ours. Cobwebs is a huge supporter of ours. Anomaly 6 is a huge supporter of ours. Osmosis Institute, there's a couple groups out there that are just, they're huge partners. And I don't mean to steer away from those things, but I think what's interesting is in this discussion is what we do that I don't see other people doing is we force you to explain it to us, because the end user is a cop that we may never meet, you know. And again, this goes back to my time as a counterterrorist professional. We used to call them the alphabets, because it was all these different organizations and everyone had an acronym and no one understood and it would change all over the place. So they would come in and they're telling me I need to go to a target to capture or kill somebody. You know, that's a pretty heavy ask or task. And I just wanted them to explain it to me. And that's where this comes from, this compelling story. This is what I would maybe encourage everyone out there that's stuck on these tools is the story compelling? You know, and that would be, and this goes back again to my experiences. Hey, maybe the information didn't seem that tight, or maybe the information wasn't corroborated in a way that I usually would expect or want. But the compelling story was, there's a kid that's being held hostage. Well, that's worth a go. You know what I mean? So like there's all these elements. So, you know, when we putting the true identity to this victim is a huge part of it, because you're now personalizing who is that person. You know, when these women are being sold online, they don't have their real names. They have these fake names. So it's used to dehumanize them. It's used obviously for forced protection for the pimp and the trafficker, so people don't know who the girl is, but it's also used to dehumanize them. And once you know what their name is and you know what their story is, suddenly it becomes real, right? Like if your name is Frisky Franny or some crap like that, you know what I mean? It's like, how seriously can we take you? How do we identify with you with this clearly fake name? But then when we know that your name is Elizabeth Johnson, and we know your story, like 2 years ago, you were on the debate club and played intramural volleyball, and you had this group of friends that were protecting you and helping develop you. And now we're able to see you meet this young man who isolates you and takes you away from all those people and all those things that made you who you were and made you feel safe. And now you look different and you talk different and you've got tattoos and, you know what I mean? And you're dressed like this. This is a compelling story that we have to grab a cop's emotions with too. You have to make them care. If they don't care about you, they're not going to take that extra step. And in many ways, we don't have a smoking gun, right? Like we don't have an obvious probable cause, reasonable suspicion. They have to care about your story in a particular way. And then when we do encounter these women and we don't call her Frisky Francine, and we call her by her real name, and the victim advocates are there and they call her by her real name, and they tell her that your mother, Judith, misses you and loves you. Your daughter, Nina, it cares about you. You've suddenly broken apart some of their own protections where they're living in this false world. They're living in this game, and you've broken through to that and recognizing that they're somebody real. And they have a real experience, and you're seeing them. Sometimes you're seeing them for the first time. So the compelling story is what I would want to encourage all of the listeners to, regardless of what tools you use or whatever, you have to make the end user care. And sometimes that is digging a little bit deeper than you need to really understand what that personal story is. So as we've gone through Skull Games, I talked a lot about compelling story. And we had some beautiful, compelling stories, but now we couple that with complete. Not only do I need a compelling story, we need it to be complete. And what I mean by that is we need to understand you've exhausted all of these tools that we have at our resources, and we have or have not reached what we consider the threshold of probable cause or reasonable suspicion. Because, you know, for a while there, we were getting so much information and like literally crying our eyes out about the story of this victim. But then when we dried our tears, we're like, okay, what do we have that's considered evidence? Nothing. Oh, wait a minute. We got way too far down the emotional trail. And now we need to come back to the very practical, pragmatic, well, ones and zeros type of a thing. So I think that's probably the theme that we're looking at. Humans are more important than hardware. That's not only when these people that you're trying to help, but even our analysts, man, never disengage yourself from the process. You're not a computer. You will never be a computer. Understand the limitations of a computer. You know, all of these systems, you talked about AI and machine learning, all that is information that a human ingested into a computer, and it's rapidly putting that information back together. Yeah, hopefully I'm not skirting your question, but actually providing something that I think is super, super important is that the human aspect to me is never less than 51% of the game. You know, most of the time it's probably 70, 80% of the game and that actual tool. And then I guess if you take that logical expansion of that, and we're talking about leadership, leaders take care of your people. You know, they'll spend oodles and oodles of dollars on technology and all of these things and recognizing and producing more technology, but nothing's more valuable than your people. It just, yeah.
So I guess you would say, Jeff, that you're looking at your tools. Obviously, you have to have that computer. It's personal computers that people are bringing in. You're not supplying. Okay. And then your next one would be the human that is using that machine. And so once that human's using the machine and identifying, do you have a software or anything that's they're filling out in order to keep track of what they're doing?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you are correct. All we need is internet access. All we need to have is Wi-Fi. And most people bring in their own computers. We do have some computers, especially some of these survivors that have become hunters. Like, you know, we have a woman on our team. She had never owned a computer before. She didn't even know how to turn it on. She didn't know what Word, she didn't even know what Word was or PowerPoint was. Like, you know, we literally had to teach her how to turn on a computer. So it really is minimal equipment that's needed. We do have these processes that we've built, these automated forms through SharePoint and things like that, where they know specifically what it is they're looking for. So there is some automation where it's like, hey, if we find out that Frisky Francine's name is Juliet Smith, that goes into a box and that's actually scored. So it's kind of a running tally. So there is some automation there that makes it faster. But I think what ultimately this is put on is a PowerPoint slide. That's ultimately what we push forward to law enforcement. We call it a baseball card or a storyboard. It's a one pager that has a photo of the victim that we've identified, whatever other pieces of information we think are relevant to that, including the person of interest, because we start with the victim who's being sold online because she's advertised. She's on an escort site and there is a phone number or an email or something attached to her. So that's our start point. But that's not where we want to end. When we figure out who she is, we want to end with who the person of interest is, who it is that's exploiting her, who the trafficker is. So usually the card has the two faces, the victim, that was our start point, and who we think is exploiting her, and then that simple story. And then there's usually 5, 8, 10 slides behind that go into the detail of how we navigated through all of this. But even when you're talking about, you know, analyst notebook and all these other things that do these link charts, those are all backside of all this. And people use whatever it is they like. If they're using Multigo or, I mean, people can use whatever they want. But again, it goes back to how are you representing it to me and communicating it to me? And link charts, I think, are very difficult to communicate in an efficient manner. It's not what law enforcement is used to. It certainly isn't what district attorneys and judges and juries are used to. So I think people would be surprised of all of these tools that people know of that are out there. It all gets whittled down to a single briefing slide with that you can tell me in 90 seconds what's happening, how do you know it's happening, what do you expect me to do about
I expect that might be one of the hardest things to whittle it
it?
down into one slide.
Hands down. When we look at, so this was Skull Games 9 that we just did. And you know, our first Skull Games was 6 players. This time it was close to 200, I believe. And you're correct. And I think it's what people find interesting. Like, we're really not training people on OSINT. We're really not training them on the tips and tools of the trade. They already know it. And everyone has their own kind of style and flavor. I don't care what software or hardware you're using. Where we have migrated to is that point in the day where now you have to communicate it to us, you know? And I think many of us that are computer dorks, right? Like, we spend a lot of time on computers. We're kind of insular, you know what I mean? Like, we're not extroverts. We're not used to briefing. And really, that is has become a big part of it, is like, look, I got it. You figured this out. But now it has to be communicated to a cop sitting in Kansas City who has, you've got 30 seconds of their time to convince them through a compelling story and the evidence that you're presenting that they need to be able to go to their boss and say, hey, boss, I need to stop what I'm doing today and address this. I think that's what you see. And I think that's what people are attracted to with these Skull Games Task Force events is, yeah, we can all do it from home. You know what I mean? We can all sit at home and we can communicate like we are now. But when you're in a room together and you're sharing these stories and the, and these experiences, it, it has an exponential effect. And then when you get empowered to actually tell us and explain to us what you've seen, how you found it, and what you think is going on. And I tell you, we kind of make a game. We have those little buzzers, you know, where it's like, wah, 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 when you screw up, you know, and everybody claps and, you know, and we make a big deal when things go good. I don't even remember using the wah, 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 wah buzzer ever. And I think part of that's peer pressure, you know, because nobody wants to publicly get the wah, 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 wah buzzer. But I think part of it too is just these teams and the team leaders that have been on this journey with us for the last couple of years really understand and recognize that we've got to make that leap from the tech side into the human compelling story. This is worth our time kind of side. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely worth your time because you had just in a 3-month period, 250 start points identified, which are the victims that are for sale online. You've had 1,000 cases posted to LE or forwarded to law enforcement. And you also had 4 missing kids that were recovered. And there's other statistics, but those are what's showing what you're doing, that you are completing something, the humans that are looking for humans.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not anything else. You're just totally out there for a human.
And I think where we're going again, for the listeners, the start point, when we talk about start points, it's an escort ad that has what we believe are indicators of sexual exploitation, of trafficking. So there are millions of escort ads out there. The statistic is there's 150,000 new ones a day. So there is no shortage of going to these sites and looking at these women and men and boys and girls that are being sold. Now, the ones that don't have indicators of trafficking that we think may potentially just be independent. And again, this gets complicated because the statistics are 80 to 90% of all prostituted people are victims of trafficking. It's like that those are the stats. So like there really isn't 1 or 2 out of 10 prostitutes are actual prostitutes that are doing this independently. You know what I mean? Most 80 to 90% of the business, there's somebody controlling them. So that's just a fact that people need to understand. Understand that prostitutes are victims. They're not independent. They're not Julia Roberts from Pretty Women.
Yes, I actually, and I'll only interject this, years ago, I worked with sexual assault victims, and I worked out of the county jail, and I only worked with the prostitutes that were there, and I learned so much, and you're right, they're continuously getting raped, bringing in, getting sold, a lot of stuff going on with them, so I think your statistics are probably right on.
So the happy side of this is we know what some of these indicators look like online, even in these ads. So, you know, when we're looking at these ads, we immediately discard the ones. Again, I'm not saying they're not victims because they most likely are, but we're not seeing the indicators of it that a cop can get his teeth into and start to take that as a case. So that's where we are. Those are the start points that we begin with. And then it evolves from that start point into that lead. And we're hunting every single day. Skull Games hunts every single day. We're hunting right now as we speak. We're doing an operation in Texas right now. We're hunting out of Mississippi right now. We're answering some requests for information. So the request for information, the RFIs, is the excitement. As we've been going through this, and this is what you, like you were talking about with these missing kids, we can hunt in a vacuum. You know, we can identify these women that are being sold, who's exploiting them, send that to law enforcement for action, help them get those operations going. But as people get to know us, they're coming to us with cases. And they're saying, hey, will you help us find this missing girl? Hey, will you help us identify this girl? Hey, we know this guy, but we don't know this. So we're getting more and more real live action support to law enforcement. And that's where the Skull Games are moving to as well, is, hey, not only are we developing leads for law enforcement to action the next day, that following week, but things are happening live. And that was a great example of a problem set that came in of a 14-year-old girl while we were down in New Orleans who was missing. People had suspected that she ran away. She was found on a sex ad, an escort site. So we knew that she was trapped in the game already. We were able to help identify who her trafficker was. And we were actually able to follow her movement. And again, this goes back to some of this high-speed technology. In real time, follow her movement from Louisiana into Texas and tip law enforcement on where we believed she was actually geolocated. So that is a rare thing for us, because usually we're not using that level of tools. You know, we're putting the information out to law enforcement, but it's an exciting space for us because we do have access to that. But even that, when you have a tool that can geolocate an individual or fence something off and identify their movement, all of that is great technology-wise. But if you don't have the relationship with the cop on the back end, or that DA who trusts you and trusts your analysis, you know, like we don't cold call anybody. Everybody we work with, we're in relationship with. You know, that's one thing too that people ask us is, how do you know the cops aren't crooked? How do you know the DAs aren't crooked? Or how do you, why do you work where you work? This crime is everywhere. It's in every little town. It's in every village. It's in every big city. So as long as we know a person there, and we have this mutual trust where they can pick up the phone and call me or send me an email or vice versa, we'll work there. Sadly, it's very difficult to work in the big city. So most of our partners are these smaller cities or these suburbs, because the politics that just get involved with the big cities make things really difficult. And then one thing too, before we go, I wanted to share, because the metrics are unbelievable, and I want to encourage anybody to continue to watch what it is we're doing. There's nobody on the planet working as extensively as we are, precipitating these arrests, you know, providing these new paths of freedom to these women. You know, it's thousands and thousands of investigative hours, thousands of start points, hundreds and hundreds of cases, dozens and dozens of arrests. Can I read you one testimonial from one of the women from this weekend? All right. So one of the things when these victims get out of the life, they call it a freedom birthday. So, you know, like just like a, maybe you go into AA and the day you quit drinking, right? That becomes your birthday, you know, or whatever. And then we have our real birthdays or anniversaries. So when these women escape the life, it becomes a freedom birthday to them that they celebrate every year. And at this last Skull Games event, one of the early survivor hunters that we've been working with, it happened to be her freedom birthday on that weekend. So that weekend, I don't know if she mentioned it here, a few years earlier was the anniversary day that she escaped her trafficker. So for her to sit here and look back and see where she is now, doing her damnedest that nobody will ever be in a situation like she was in again, was remarkable. So let me read this from her. She says, working alongside Skull Games and bringing lived experience and a skill set has been healing, impactful, and I'm honored to be part of an incredible team. Skull Games 9 fell on the weekend of my freedom date from the man who trafficked me as a teen. And to be able to go after these oppressors and hold them accountable so that they can't harm others is something I can't put into words. The leadership truly values the mission, volunteers, honor survivor leaders, and have cultivated passions for standing against injustice. I'm honored to be part of an incredible organization. So it's just, I mean, it's just absolutely humbling. And this woman's story, It's hard to imagine surviving it. The level of violence and abuse that was laid upon her and her children, I don't even know how she physically survived it, let alone emotionally and spiritually. And she's also super important to the task force because she's an iconologist, which is a new term that she understands imagery and tattoos and branding. So like that's a very big part of what it is, how we're tracking stables. We're tracking how these men mark their women. So they mark them physically on their bodies. They call it branding, just like you would brand cattle. You deconflict your cattle from their cattle. You're deconflicting the victims in your stable from someone else's. So that happens in the physical world. But it also happens in the virtual world. There's emojis and acronyms and phrases. So, because the pool is not just in the physical world, like a lot of these women are not being sold on the streets anymore or in brothels. It's online. They're being recruited and groomed online. They still have to mark their property. So this woman is an expert on this iconography. And one of the classes, again, if anyone's listening to this, we love participating in this class. She gives an incredible history lesson of just through time on how brandings have been part of exploitation from the slave trade to the Holocaust to today. And this story that she weaves from, the BC days to the present day of how we are still marking women and children as property is absolutely mind-boggling. And she is one of these human computers who you can call her over and she can look and she can identify what the iconography is on this person's body, the different gang tattoos and what they mean, things that I wouldn't understand that she knows from lived experience and then a continued passion of this as a profession.
I think Sarah has a question.
Okay, so my question was, does Skull Games coordinate primarily with just domestic law enforcement, or is Skull Games also partnering with international law enforcement? And the reason I ask is I have noted on several social media platforms very overt international trafficking.
So to date, we've been focusing domestically. We would love to work internationally. It really is a funding issue. You know what I mean? Like for us to work in New Orleans, and Texas and Washington and Virginia, that has its own price tag. Now to jump over to Europe or Asia, an incredibly higher price tag. In a nutshell, what our niche is the commercial online industry. So if there's an internet where there's an online sex community, we can hunt there. And we've done some work in England. We've done some work in Europe. We've done some work in Asia. We've even done some work in Iraq. We've done some work in Israel. So any place there's an online underground commercial sex economy, the Skull Games template can pick up and be laid right over it. So we do want to expand. And where we're going with Skull Games is internally we have teams that compete. So they get points for what it is they're identifying. And it's just kind of a way to have a healthy competition and really help people focus. But where we're moving into next year is we'll have cities and states competing against each other. So it'll be Team Florida against Team Virginia against Team Texas, And then the next step of that was, hey, let's have the USA versus England versus Spain versus Cambodia. You know what I mean? Like I think there's definitely a way to gamify this internationally. And there are definitely similarities. Every little place has its own flavor, but there are rules to the game that everyone follows, that we understand, and that we can exploit.
We could probably talk forever on this. Cindy, do you have anything further, or should we move to the last call?
No, I think I'm good because you're right. And we'll probably talk after we get done with the last call.
Exactly, we will. So last call on our podcast is basically shouting out a tool or
could be a person, could be anything, link, whatever that you're finding very, very useful right now. Each of us will have one and we'll talk very shortly about it. And then we'll do a wrap up afterwards. So Jeff, what tool or a link or person would you like to give a shout out to today?
I'm going to put a shout out to Cobwebs again. And you know, I personally don't have my fingers in the tool itself, but Michelle, our Intel director, she loves it. And, you know, in the military, I've tested every single tool that they marketed to us. You know what I mean? And as an operations guy, I have to understand it enough. You know what I mean? But really my emphasis has always been, like we've talked about, okay, great. Your tool did such and such. What does this mean now? Like what is the expectation? And you know, so many of these tools are too complicated. Like you have to go through a training course to understand how to use it and then represent it to somebody else. And you know, my understanding with Cobwebs and the amount of support they send us, not just with their actual software, but with the people that come to participate is huge. And then of course I've got a shout out for Cynthia and Hetherington Group and Osmosis Con. I mean, Cynthia has been an integral part of this journey with us, been on our board. She's helped us through, you know, and helping us raise the level of the people that we have involved with us. Indago is another group with Buddy Jericho that has been on this journey with us. So, you know, it's an interesting piece. I'm the worst guy to talk to about technology, but one of the things from early on, even way back when I was still in the military, the government was creating tools to be used in counterterrorism and counterinsurgency. There's something that goes all the way back called Memex. And that was a tool that was built by the US government to do counterterrorism and counterinsurgency work, but to keep it open source, they focused on counter trafficking. And that's one of the things that we open Skull Games up to is I don't care if you're going to take your tool and you want to apply it to some sort of top secret category or sell it to the government or whatever is it you want to do. Again, it's this democratization. And there are similarities between identifying individuals, identifying networks, identifying causes and patterns and links and trends and all of that. So we definitely open up Skull Games to any software or testing where you can do it all in the open and work through kind of your own formulas and algorithms and proofs of concept, test it out, and you know, use us as a litmus test for the veracity of your tool. And Indago Technologies, processes and systems that Cynthia has done with Hetherington Group, and even Cobwebs themselves have done that for a couple of years with us to great effect.
All right. Okay, Cynthia, do you have a last call tool to shout out?
I do. Actually, totally opposite of you, Jeff. I'm sorry. mine is planet.com. And actually, Sarah, I will send you this link because it's a little longer than that. But what it is, it's a high resolution monitoring for solutions like if you're looking for defense and intelligence, you're going to use this. And it's a satellite. It's all satellite. And you can go in there. It is a paid one. I will have to say that. However, Bellingcat will take sometimes when people say, I have a good reason why I need this, and they will do it for free for you. But it could be maritime. It could be drought response, whatever you're working on, forestry and land use. There's a lot, but it is all, which Jeff, you would be very familiar with this, but it is planet.com and it's just the monitoring and it's in a high resolution for the photos that you get. And you can see some samples that they post up there that may be, you know, a couple of years old, but you can get an idea of what can be used from this. So it's a lot of different OSINT.
Okay. Sarah, do you have a tool for us this week?
Sure. Mine actually relates to the topic. So I was going to do a shout out to premium tool for Twitter called TweetBinder, BINDER. Oh, and what that does is it's a marketing tool, and you can look up hashtags in the marketing tool for trending market topics, which includes traffickers on Twitter. So I have used that tool to look up clusters of people for sale on that platform.
Wow. Okay. And my last call shout out is about training, policetraining.net. I just realized that they have, you can scroll through and look by location or time period and find some different training opportunities, which I thought was fantastic. And of course, that's really focused toward US-based police, but there are some other sites like that. And then I'm kind of like looking around for those type of sites right now. And I really thought this one was great.
Cool.
Okay. Now, wrap up, Jeff. How can people get hold of you?
So skullgames.io is our website, and that's not by accident. Again, this you know, we run ourselves like a entrepreneurial startup, and it is very tech based. So hence the .io versus a .org. Going to skullgames.io, we just released two courses. One is a Protect Your Family course. It's a couple hours long. And it really helps families understand what the threats are to them. It's trafficking and exploitation. To people to sign up for that one. I have a leadership course that I built a couple years ago that's on there as well, that talks about, you know, just some of the experiences that I've gone through and how I've been taught. So skullgames.io, they can go to check that out. We're closed until next year for new applicants and registrations for Skull Games Task Force, but our next event is going to be January. And then the following will be in April. So please be on the lookout for that. And then, you know, as a 501c3, we are 100% funded by donations and donors. And, you know, times are tough. The world is, there's a lot of variables going on. But again, I hope our metrics bring people confidence in we're doing what we say we're doing, and we're communicating as well as we can. I hope our testimonials from the people that are involved bring some confidence. So yeah, if you're looking at any of your gifts, or you have any friends or family or anyone you know that has a heart for this mission in protecting specifically women and children, just let us know. I'd love to share more and more with them, because the pressure that we've been able to apply in 2023, I would hate to have to let any of that up in 2024 because we're just not funded right. So that's really our push here for the rest of the year.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. And so we're going to wrap up now. I just want to give Cynthia and myself a chance to say, hey, what's going on in our world. Cynthia, do you have anything to promote right now?
I do. And I'm going to keep promoting it, which is Osmosis Association. Please get up there. Get online and sign up. It is free right now, and we're going to keep it free as long as we can. So go on up there, take a look, participate. We are a community. We're sharing. We can do special groups. And Jeff, if that's a special group you'd like up on there, we can always do one for human trafficking or whatever you want to call it. But I'll be more than happy to add that up there. But definitely get in and join Osmosis Association.
All right. And I would promote Osmosis Association as well as being on the board of directors. Definitely, if you want to come in and chat with me there, I'm definitely planning to offer special deals for our training to people who are members of that association. Speaking of our training, academy.pluses.net is what I would like to promote as well. My own academy. We've got a bunch of webinars up right now. All right. Thank you, everyone. And hopefully we'll see you again on the next one.
I have one more thing. I have a book coming out. By the time this goes out, it might be. So I have a book coming out. It's called Where Have All the Heroes Gone? A Pilgrimage Through the Battlefield, the Bible, and Back Home Again. So we touched a little bit about my experience in the military. The book is designed to talk about, you know, my faith tradition and some of the things that I held on to dearly to help me through my life as a combat soldier. And then a bunch of the different stories and experiences that I've had over time. Pre-sales should be starting here in a couple days. I'm hoping to launch it on November 11th, Veterans Day. So it's just another way to kind of understand who the leadership is behind Skull Games and what makes us tick.
Thank you. And don't forget to rate us on your favorite podcast app.
Also, please share so that we can continue sharing this podcast with you.